Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Hallelujah. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to use NIV first, then we'll come to the truth. The NIV is truth, but you know what I mean. Jesus has just been acknowledged to be the Christ, the Messiah. He's forecast, he's predicted his crucifixion, resurrection. And then he talks to the disciples about being a disciple. Verse 24. If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Now, this is a very interesting statement, one that the whole church everywhere needs to hear and believe. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Now, being biblical scholars, you all know that the same Greek word can be translated as either save or heal. The word that is translated life means soul. So what is Jesus saying? He who seeks to heal his soul will lose it. Are you hearing? He who seeks to heal his soul will lose it. But he who loses his soul for me will find it. There's no point in healing what you're supposed to lose. Are you breathing?
Yeah.
Yet the church worldwide is full of people trying to get their souls healed and full of people ministering in such a way as to try to heal people's souls. There are all kinds of soul healing ministries. Sometimes they're called deliverance ministries. Sometimes they're called inner healing. They can be called all kinds of things. But essentially what they are is soul healing, which is totally counterproductive to the purpose of God. Because Jesus says, if anyone is going to be my disciple, he's got to lose his soul, not have it healed. Any believers in the room this morning? You look stunned. Now, you know what the soul is. It's the mind, the intellect, the emotions, feelings, your will, your ability to choose. So what is Jesus saying? Anybody who seeks to heal his mind will lose it. Anybody who seeks to heal his emotions will lose it. Anybody who seeks to heal his will lose it. Sounds strange, doesn't it? It only sounds strange because for so long people have been trying to do these things. But counterproductive to the purposes of God. Now, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts the division of soul and spirit. The problem is, you see, for so many people, there is confusion between the soul and the spirit. They cannot discern what is of the soul and what is of the spirit. What is of the soul is of the self-life. What is of the Spirit is of God's life. So he who seeks to save his self-life will lose it. But he who loses his self-life for God's life will find it. Now you see, it sounds a little bit more acceptable when you put it that way. Sounds even a little bit more acceptable when Jesus says, if you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Denying yourself seems a little bit simpler than losing yourself. Hello? But Jesus actually says you've got to lose yourself. You've got to lose your soul. But don't we need our souls? I mean, what would we be without our souls? So what's he talking about? Well now, you know the illustration of the three chairs, so I'm not going to get them out again this morning, because I really just want to talk about two of them, the soul and the spirit. So over here we'll have the soul, and over here we'll have the spirit. Now you know that your spirit was not alive before you were born again, but you came alive spiritually when the Holy Spirit came to live in your spirit. So here is the Holy Spirit in your spirit. He's not in your soul. He lives in your spirit, the deep innermost part of your being, from where, Jesus said, rivers of living water are to flow. He doesn't say they're going to flow from the soul. They're going to flow from the spirit. However, to flow out through your body, they have to flow through the soul. So the soul is very necessary, but the soul is to express the life of the spirit. You see, here are all these people having ministry and counseling and all the rest of it, trying to heal their souls. Whereas what the scripture says is lose your soul so that your soul can be the servant of the spirit. Now, when it's the servant of the spirit, what happens to the soul? Well, from the spirit, from the spirit, from the spirit, there comes love. What do you want in your soul? Love. But where does it come from? The spirit. Joy. What do you like to experience in your spirit? Joy. But joy won't come by looking at yourself, turning yourself inside out, being concerned about yourself, trying to heal the self, having ministry for the self. Joy, like love, comes from the spirit. What else do you want in your soul life? Peace. Peace won't come from counseling. Peace won't come from just praying for peace. Peace comes from the Spirit. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Patience. Seems the Prime Minister needs a bit more of that. Well, he'll only get it from the Spirit. And he won't throw papers on the floor and all the rest of it. Supposed to be going on. Kindness. You want kindness? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith. Actually, the Greek says faith, not faithfulness, but faith. If you have faith, you'll be faithful. Gentleness. Self-control. Where does control of that self, of the soul, come from? From the Spirit. So the Spirit, the soul, is to express the life of the Spirit. And what Jesus knew was the only way in which your soul is going to express the life of the Spirit is if it doesn't express your life. But expresses His life. So in other words, His life has to become your life. Any believers in the room?
Yeah.
Shell-shocked this morning. It's only the Word of God. Come on. It's been in your Bible ever since you bought it. So, you don't want your self-life to be healed because Jesus says, in your self-life, there's nothing good. So why heal something where there's nothing good and you're supposed to lose it anyway? So what are all these crazy ministries doing trying to heal people's souls' life? People's soul life. Counterproductive to the real purposes of God. Amen. What our souls need to do is to radiate the life of the Spirit, because the secret is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Either you express Christ in you or you express you. Now, of course, what God wants is for the soul to be so submitted to the Spirit that the Spirit gets expressed through the soul. But because God will never force the issue, it's possible for you to express soulishness one moment and the Spirit the next. That's called mixture. But what mixture shows is that you haven't lost your soul yet. Hello? You still want to express you. You are still concerned about you. Well, of course, I couldn't be talking to anybody who belongs to Rafi or Kingdom Faith, but, you know, this goes out all over the world, so... I'm obviously talking to everybody else all over the world except those in this room. You've heard me say many times that where there's true revival, there is always what is called brokenness. And that all the great revival writers talk about brokenness. What is brokenness? Brokenness is being broken of that soulishness, so the life of the Spirit can flow through the soul and out of the body as rivers of living water. It's been broken of that concentration and focus on self. All the problems, really, that Christians have are with their soulishness. And if you're in leadership, you know all the problems that you have with people in the congregation or wherever is because of their soulishness. Here you're trying to teach and train people how to be spiritual, and you keep coming up against their soulishness. Why? Because they haven't yet lost their soulishness. They might have been Christians 20, 30, 40, 50 years and still not lost their soulishness. And therefore, still are not living as disciples. So, Jesus, when he begins his ministry, He said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. What do you do when you repent? Well, you not only get forgiven, but you surrender your life, your soul, and your body to God. So that as he fills you with the Spirit, his Spirit is going to be expressed, released through the life of your soul and of your body. So you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, so that the life of the Spirit can be expressed through your soul and through the body. Now we have the mind of Christ, but you don't have the mind of Christ in your soul, you have the mind of Christ in your spirit. You've still got a natural mind. Let your minds be renewed. Not by losing your mind, the sense of losing your mind. But you see, losing the pride of your own thinking. So that you submit your thinking, your opinions, in fact, you give up having opinions, because you know all that matters is the truth, and Jesus is the truth, your opinions count for nothing. Hello? So it's liberating not to have opinions. Your opinions will die with you, and good riddance. But the truth will live forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The more strongly opinionated a person is, the more strong his soul life, the less, therefore, he has lost his soul. He still actually values his soul. He values his opinions. Values being right and all the rest of it. Whereas the one that has lost his soul is only concerned that whatever he's doing and saying and the decisions that he makes are going to be in line with God's word, with God's purpose. Because it's not just the way he thinks. His feelings are, of course, going to be affected by the way he thinks. So if he's submitted his natural mind to the mind of Christ, to the mind of the Spirit, then that's going to affect his emotions. And when his emotions deny the truth, he doesn't need healing for his emotions. He just needs to repent that he's got away from the truth. Because as soon as he gets back to the truth, his thinking will come in order, and then the emotions will come in order. You see, where do all these negative emotions come from? They don't come from the truth. They come from the self. So you get all this crazy business of let's go back into the past, let's work through everything in your life that has been negative. It's nonsense. You will never, ever, ever get your soul in order by doing that, but only by losing your soul in the sense of right now I submit everything to the Spirit so the life of the Spirit can invade my soul. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, that's a good start. Amen. Why heal what is lost or to be lost? Oh, well, brother, there's all these things from the past that have damaged me. And maybe... No, no, come on. That's who you used to be. It's not who you are. You're a new creation. The old is gone. You're dead and laid buried with Christ. You're not that person. You may think that you're that person because you haven't lost your soul. See, when you lose your soul, your thinking changes as to who you are. Then you get built up in the truth of who you are in Christ. That's who I am. Why try to heal who I was? When Jesus took who I was to the cross, what I need to do is to develop who I am in Christ and Christ in me. People only spend hours doing that instead of hours worrying about themselves. They'd get on a lot further. Are we breathing? I'll start preaching in a minute if you're not careful. So you see, the one who hasn't lost his soul feels sorry for himself. Lots and lots and lots of self-pity. Lots and lots and lots of excuses as to why he is what he is and why he feels how he feels and why he can't do what he should do. What's happened to the gospel in all that? Jesus didn't die for excuses. Comes back to the same thing. You see, we affirm, I have died, and my life is now hidden with Christ in God. If my life is hidden with Christ in God, then my soul life has died. I've lost it. I'm lost in God. My life is lost with Christ in God. Now, last Tuesday, we had a tremendous time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Praise with purpose. Worship with intent. Produced a breakthrough. I gather there was a tremendous time of worship on Sunday. All knock-on effect. So what are we doing now? Getting all self-conscious? No. You see, when you have times of praise and worship like that, everybody forgets about themselves. They're so focused on God, forget about yourself for a few minutes. Well, now, just forget about yourself for a few years. And then you'll flow in that kind of praise and worship. Not just in the worship times, but all the time. Isn't that what, I mean, that really is what revival is like. You just live in that constant 24-hour-a-day revelation of God. Which is amazing. But isn't that what we want? Because Jesus is wonderful, isn't he?
Yes.
You're depressing. So, you know, the more you look at him, the more faith rises up within you. The more you look at yourself, the worse you feel. So you see, Jesus knew what he was doing. He wasn't just saying, if you lose your soul, it's going to be such a hard, difficult, sacrificial way in which you've got to live. I'm going to kill all the joy and enjoyment in your life. And Jesus said, no, this is the way to be happy. It's the way to be full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of patience, full of kindness, gentleness, full of self-control, full of faith. Trouble is, we're surrounded by so many things in the world that appeal to the soul. I mean, the whole of advertising is geared at soulishness. Not of the spirit. The body and the soul. And, of course, the devil has read the Bible. The devil knows the Word of God better than you do. He doesn't like it, but he sure knows it. He could even quote it to Jesus when he tempted him. So what does he want to do? He wants to keep your focus on the soul, because he can't take the Holy Spirit away from you. So all he can do is try to get you to function in such a way that the Spirit will not really function through you in the way that God desires. So he wants you to get your focus on yourself. You're going to refuse to do that, of course. Because Jesus says, every day you have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. In other words, you see, if you don't keep the soul submitted to the Spirit, you will inevitably just rise up in soulishness again. The soul has to be kept. This is because part of it is your will. You have to keep your will submitted to Jesus. Keep your will submitted to the Spirit. Because if you don't do that, you'll just get back to soulishness. You'll get back to doing what you want, thinking what I believe. My opinions. You'll start feeling sorry for yourself. Start making excuses for yourself. And the whole soulish syndrome just goes on and on and on. That has to be broken. So what brokenness is all about, that cycle of self-concern. See, it doesn't seem right when you translate it as it means, he who seeks to heal his soul will lose it. I mean, out there's all these millions of Christians who are trying to get their souls healed. I need to be changed. No. He's exchanged your life with his life. You've heard me say again and again, God doesn't want to change you. He wants to transform you into his likeness. With ever-increasing glory. The more you are submitted to the Spirit, the more of the glory. So how's all this put here in the truth? If anyone makes a decision to be my follower, he will have to deny what he wants for himself. It's basically what the soul does.
What I want.
He must be prepared to suffer willingly any cross of sacrifice asked of him, then he can follow me. For whoever is intent only on his own welfare will lose his life eternally. But whoever is prepared to lose his life or lose his soul for me will find eternal life. Now, in the natural, I hate losing things. Because, usually when you recognize you've lost something, it's because you want it at that moment. And nothing is more of a waste of time than having to search for something because you need it. And you've lost it. So there's this sort of natural instinct within us to try to get back what is lost, to try to find what is lost. Now, the exception to this must be your soul. When you lose it, you want to leave it lost, not go looking for it, not try to get it back. Do I have any believers in the meantime? This is just as exciting as last week's message. You see, last week was breakthrough, but this is breakthrough of your whole life. What's God's biggest problem with his church? Soulishness. Why are all these... people tell me they go off to conferences and times of ministry and to these sort of soulish healings. And they say, oh, I was helped so much. And I know exactly what they mean. They'd say they're helped, but I've never heard anybody say that they were set free. You know why? Because, you see, they love it. I mean, if you're still in love with yourself, if you're still holding on to your soul, and you go away, and for a whole weekend, people are ministering to your soul, you're going to love it. Say, oh, that was good. Oh, I really enjoyed that. I feel so much better now. But you're in more bondage than you were before you went for the weekend. Why? Because you're more soulish than you were before. But the soul enjoys being soulish. It's the very nature of the soul. So if you have ministry that appeals to your soul, you're going to say, oh, that's great. But then when you're confronted with the truth, you'll lose your soul. You see, the soul doesn't want to be lost. The soul wants to be the focus of attention and attraction. That's the feature of all these kinds of ministry. You know, when they ask for help, it's, I've got to be something. And they're meant to be lost with Christ in God. But nobody's ever taught them that. So will you pray for me? Will you help me? I know none of you would be like that, but there are people like this all over the world, you see. And here is God wanting to lead his church to really take the nations for the kingdom of God, and everybody's sitting around, my feelings, my emotions, my rejection, my past. And God's saying, what past? It doesn't exist. And I thought I made you a new creation. You'll never find your ability to live as a new creation by going back to what you were when you were an old creation. I mean, it's common sense. That's why you have to be baptized in water, so that you know your soul life died that day. And up from the water popped a spiritual being. A new creation. Then you get prayed with to be filled with the Spirit, and you motor for the rest of your life. Because you're going to stay filled with the Spirit, not just have an experience of being filled with the Spirit. So it's good fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
This morning's message comes in the category of people sitting there trying to believe it. The sort of look of agony on some of your faces. You say, well, this must be true because it's there, but I'm trying to believe it. But wait a minute, what's this going to mean? It's going to mean everybody else is going to be much happier about you.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Because what they're going to experience is the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness of Jesus flowing through you. So everybody's going to think, oh, that's a relief. They're going to think that of you because they've already died of their soulishness a long time ago, you see.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
Do you know, God helps us in all this. He lets certain things happen to you. Often they're negative things, often they're difficult things. But he just lets things happen to you. It's like sort of being prodded. Just to see what the reaction is, whether it's soul or spirit. And if you have this challenge and you react with the soul, or whatever, you failed the test. Right? And so, you know, God will just let you be for a little while, then he'll give you the same thing again. Failed again. Then one glorious day, probably after about 25 failures, he allows the same kind of thing to happen to you and say, oh, praise your name, Lord. I give thanks. I rejoice in you. I give thanks in these circumstances. Thank you. You've allowed this to happen. But thank you, Lord. And you've passed the test, and he'll never need to test you like that again. Because the testing of your faith proves it's genuine. So one of the tests is, are you living in soulishness or in the spirit? Well, how do you know that? By the way you react to circumstances. So, you know, sometimes when there's a difficult situation, people say, Lord, why have you let this happen to me? Just to show you how soulish you still are. See, Paul said a wonderful thing. He said lots of wonderful things, didn't he? But one of the most wonderful things that you like, of course, is he said, death is at work in us, that life may be at work in you. But you see, he understood he wasn't going to get anywhere in promoting the gospel of the kingdom with his self-life. Especially, I mean, 39 lashes 5 times, being stoned, shipwrecked, beaten, imprisoned. And when he recounts all these things, there's not one. Yeah! Why? I was doing your work, Lord. He's very positive about it. Beaten, but not killed. Hey, here we are. We've come through it. Devil couldn't have his way. But today, people say, beaten. Oh, I need ministry. Do you know what they said? Do you know what they did to me? Well, of course they did. They were soulish. What do you expect? But you rise above other people's soulishness in the spirit. So you don't react in a soulish way, but in a spiritual way. You see, I could go on preaching this morning until you've all got it and all are happy about it and all look happy about it. But unfortunately, you don't lose your soul just by somebody keep preaching about it. But you only lose it by losing it. It's something you have to do. The pastor can't do it for you. No, I mean, if the pastor was allowed to do, just shoot everybody at dawn and they've lost their soul. And life's easy then. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we never shot anyone yet. Because everywhere around here, you see, everyone around here just loses their soul, so you don't need to shoot them. So what does it mean? Well, it means you've got to let go, doesn't it?
You see, what is faith? Faith is letting go. Letting go of self and trusting him. It's just letting go. It's not saying, Lord, help me. I've got to do it, Lord. It says, no, you just let go. Let me. Not you, but Christ. If you do it, I won't. If you don't do it, I will. So just let go. Trust me. I'll do it. My spirit will work through your soul, through your body, will flow out of you as rivers of living water. Just let go. Hallelujah. See, when you lose something, it's because you've let go of it. While you're holding on, you can't lose it. You're trying to keep it. Mm-hmm. Why do we want to keep it? Because we still want to be in charge. We want to be in control. Oh, we can say all the right things. Oh, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. Oh, Lord, I want to see you glorified in my life. We all know the right words. But you see, it seems a scary thing to let go and let Jesus take over. So what we tend to do is to give him certain parameters within which we will allow him to work. We don't put it like that, but in effect, that's what we're doing. These are the parameters, these are the limitations within which I will let you work in my life, Lord. And, you know, with a bit of pressure here and there, the extent to which we allow him work gets ever so slowly enlarged. Until you let go. Say, Lord, there's no limitations. You do with me exactly what you will. Everything I am, all that I have is yours. I've got no plans, no agenda of my own. You can do with me what you choose because you purchased me with your blood. I'm your property. I don't want to hold on to what you have paid for. Amen. Let's all stand. Now, this is another morning of release. But it's a release of all that self stuff, isn't it? Now, we could all say the right words, but you just need to do business with God now. There's you and there's Jesus. He's just spoken to you. Now you need to speak to him. I can just give you a little bit of help here and there for anyone who needs it. You might need to say, Lord, I'm still being so concerned about myself. I've been trying to get my soul healed instead of losing it. I've been trying to improve myself instead of losing myself. So, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. You might need to say, Lord, I've wanted to retain control. I haven't really wanted to hand over the control of my life to you. I've said all the right words, Lord, my life is yours, but I haven't really handed over the control of my life to you. I've been holding on to self instead of losing myself. You might feel like saying to the Lord, Lord, this is scary. Because I've just got to let go of what has been so familiar. What I've been doing for so many years. But Lord, I do want the life of your Spirit to be expressed in my soul. Your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Thank you, Lord, that you put your Spirit within me to express your Spirit through me. And I realize the more that I've really died to self, the more your Spirit can flow through my life. Your life, your power, your presence just flow out of me as rivers of living water. Praise you, Lord. I can just help you a little bit more because there are a few sort of issues that you need to deal with in letting go of yourself. One of those is trying to impress other people. That's the soul, isn't it? So you might need to say, Lord, forgive me. I've been trying to impress others. I've been so concerned that others think well of me. You might be one of those people that wants to be the life and soul of the party, so that everybody's focus is on you. And the Lord is saying to you, if you let me be the focus, you'll have a much better party. Now, when you lose your soul, what gets lost with it? All the things of self. Self-pity? Wave it goodbye. You're going to lose it. Self-consciousness? You're going to lose it today. So restricts the working of God's Spirit in your life. self-concern, waving that one goodbye. Selfishness, that's going too. Just kick it out. All part of this losing your soul. You're losing your pride in your abilities. You're losing your pride in your intellect and your reasoning capacity. You lose that, you'll get God's wisdom, which is much greater than your wisdom. You'll get the wisdom of the Spirit in your soul. Don't hold on, don't hold on. There comes a point where it's just like sort of something snaps within you. It's like, you know, you sort of let go of something, but you keep it on a rope. So that you can haul it back. That seems the safe thing to do. And we can have times of consecration, times of prayer, times like this where we say, you know, we let go, but there's that jolly rope there. But there comes a point in a believer's life where the rope gets cut. And you can't bring back what has been lost. That's the real breakthrough point. See, your soulishness wants to keep hold of that rope. Seems a fearful thing to have it severed. But really, it's only when that rope is severed that you've lost. So you can pray, Lord, give me the grace not to hold on. Give me the grace just to let go of that rope. Just to see it cut, it's severed. So I don't say one thing now and then just go back to being what I was before. Thank you, Lord, that losing my soul is the making of me, the making of the real me, the new me, the one who is in Christ, the one who is lost with Christ in God. Thank you, I'm going to find my true self now in Christ, in Christ in me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, what we've been talking about this morning is the gospel. It's what Jesus said. Why do all these ministries exist that are a contradiction to what Jesus said? Well, only because of people's soulishness. and ministries that promote soulishness. They don't intend to do that, but that's what they do, actually. People like it, but that doesn't mean it's right. Now thank the Lord that He's making you a man or woman of the Spirit. Not of a soul, but of the Spirit. That you're going to become a spiritual person. Where the Spirit is in control. Those, the sons of God, are led by the Spirit of God. They're not led by their soulishness. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. That means the Spirit of God is in control. The Spirit of God is in charge. That you go where the Spirit leads you. And the Spirit always declares the Word of God to you. He's the Spirit of truth who guides you into all the truth. So thank Him that you're going to live as a son of God. You're going to live as a child of God with the Spirit of God in charge. The Spirit of God flowing through your soul and out of your body as rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Kurata parazata parasituba. Balata pariazatu bakarasitu di sanduma. Boralala basotu di satari elero bakarasitu di sanduma. Boralala basotu di satuba. Now the writer to Hebrews says, fix your focus, fix your eyes, fix your thoughts, fix your focus on Jesus, the author, finisher, or perfecter of your faith. See, as soon as you fix your focus on yourself, faith goes out through the back door. But as soon as you get your eyes back on Jesus, faith rises up within you. Now, what the scripture says is fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't glance at Him and then look at yourself and get all depressed. Fix your eyes, keep your focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. What has He been doing this morning? He's been perfecting your faith. He's been furthering that whole work of bringing you your whole life in line with His Word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is why you see your weakness doesn't matter. All those stuff, all that thing of self, it doesn't matter. All your inability and weakness doesn't matter if your focus is on Jesus, because it doesn't matter how weak your soul is. If the Spirit of God can flow through, the Spirit of God can come forth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pura la baza tapari eletu bakara situ di sanduba. Balatapari ezituri satari eleroba karasituba. Balalala masuturi satari eleroba. Come on, let's get excited about it then. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Puratapari ezituri satari eleroba karasituri sanduma. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you rejoice in the Lord now? Just rejoice in the Lord. See, why does the scripture say rejoice always? Because while you're rejoicing in the Lord always, you forget about yourself. So come on, let's just rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pura la basata pari elero bakara situ di sanduma. Om parazatari elero bakara situ di satuba. O paparazatari elero bakara situba. Yeah!
Oh, you are so good, Lord. You are so wonderful. You are so brilliant. Come on, let him have your best. Thank you, Lord. We're seated in heavenly places. Thank you. You have raised us up in a new life in Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. Thank you that we have died and lay buried with Christ, that we have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Yes. Thank you, Lord, that love, your love, is going to flow through my soul. Your joy, Lord, not just my soulish joy, but your joy that enables me to rejoice always and to give thanks in all circumstances. Your joy is going to flow through my soul. Your peace, Lord, I won't allow the enemy to disturb me because I have your peace. Hallelujah. Your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your faith, Lord, your gentleness, your self-control. Putaparazataya. Oh, Lord, it's so wonderful that you have put within me all these wonderful qualities. I don't want them shut up in my spirit. I want them expressed in my soul. I want them flowing out of my body. I want them to fill my relationships, my actions, my reactions. Now, thank you, Lord, that I'm your disciple. You're training me. You're equipping me. Thank you for the difficult things you allow from time to time to happen so that I can get out of soulishness and learn not to react in a soulish way. Praise you, Lord. Purrazata parazituri satupa. Praise you, Jesus. Now, you know that the Lord loves you. He has loved you, and that love is eternal. And because he loves you, he's concerned about your welfare. He is your healer. So as he's concerned about your welfare, he knows the best possible thing for you is to lose your soul. It's for your welfare, for your good, as well as for his glory and the sake of his kingdom. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, thank you that everything you say is for your glory, the good of your kingdom, and the welfare of your people. So thank you that what you've said to us this morning is for our welfare, that we're going to be so much happier, so much freer, so much full of love and joy, as we see the outworking of your word to us. So we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Lord, when things happen as they're bound to test whether we've really laid hold of this truth or not, just give us the grace to let go in every situation so that more and more of your spirit can be expressed through us. And we just give you all the glory, Lord. And thank you that when we go out into the world as your witnesses, that we're going to be more like you. You are described as the faithful witness. Well, Lord, we're going to witness because your spirit is going to flow through us. It's not going to be us trying to do stuff, but your spirit will be flowing through us. And we just give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Come on, now let's just thank the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.